This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM, streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. We're hanging out for the Thursday noon emergency services operation, emergency service organization. They got an update coming up, so we're going to hang tight until they pop on. But in the meantime, you can stay tuned for the Midday Report, hosted by me, Jared Griffin, and the Island Messenger. Well, right now in Kodiak, it's 58 degrees. Got a 50% chance of rain, so showers here and there, winds from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, low of 53 with a 30% chance of rain. Let's see, wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow, high of 58, but still the rain and the showers are going to be hanging around. Headlines. Oh, we're getting ready to join the emergency services organization right now.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today, July 16th, 2020. My name is Mike Twenge, the Emergency Services Director. We're counting the days, and today is 121 at the Emergency Operations Center. We also have members of the Emergency Services Council present with me today. As you know, the Emergency Services Council is the policy board for the actions of the Emergency Operations Center. The harbor has issued 105 harbor use agreements with only two vessels remaining in quarantine. EOC Safety has accepted 120 business mitigation plans, and I ask those businesses to review the plans you submitted and continue to take those preventative measures. The Kodiak Arts Council will continue distributing masks for the EOC Mondays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in front of the Gerald C. Auditorium. This next distribution will be July 20th and July 27th. Again, the hours are 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The state of Alaska has announced 53 new coronavirus cases Wednesday, with a total case count of 1,631. There have been 96 hospitalizations, 669 recovered, and there has been 17 deaths. That is an increase of 405 cases in 1 week. And these are Alaskan resident cases. Today's announcement is 65 new cases. Last week during the community update, we reported our 10th case. In the past week, there have been six more positive cases in Kodiak, one in the past 5 days. This is another travel-related case. The Emergency Operations Center has received questions about the variance in case count between the state and what the Kodiak EOC is reporting. The EOC is reporting all cases showing positive in Kodiak, including the non-resident travelers. The state tracks those differently, identifying where the case or the person is physically from, i.e., a resident of Fairbanks testing positive in Kodiak will be counted by the local health officials as a Kodiak case, but the state will report it from Fairbanks. As an example, this could be someone coming to Kodiak to work and testing locally. The EOC believes you should be aware of positive cases actually here on the island and not ignore it as another community's case. The community has done very well in reducing the spread. We've had cases of community spread, however, they have been limited. That does not mean we should relax our efforts. The Emergency Operations Center has been encouraging businesses to require the use of masks by employees. I'm pleased to report many local vendors are wearing masks. You can also require your patrons to wear a mask while in your place of business. But my advice is to find a mask that fits you well and wear it. If you use a disposable mask, please place it in the trash when no longer effective, rather than disposing down the toilet. The treatment plant is having masks and gloves plugging the pumps in the sewer lift stations. Besides, cloth masks or face shields are reusable by just cleaning or washing them. There are reasons some cannot or will not wear a mask. We all understand that, but those that fall into that category are a small percentage of our Kodiak residents. For instance, Walmart employees have been wearing masks in the store for some time now, and beginning Monday, July 20th, will be requiring all customers to wear a mask when shopping. Safeway employees have been wearing masks in the store and will continue this policy. At this time, patrons are not mandated to wear a mask while shopping in Safeway. Other local businesses are also requiring masks of patrons and employees. This is great to see, as masks are a recognized protective measure. Several Alaskan communities are already mandating wearing masks indoors. Enforcement of a mask mandate is difficult to accomplish, but voluntary use of masks is not. And the EOC and the ESC would like to recommend you take this social responsibility to protect our community. Travelers are especially at risk, and as a community with less than the national average of COVID cases, we appreciate you getting tested and masking up when in public places. For instance, California reported 11,126 new confirmed cases Tuesday, a 3.3% increase from the previous day. Florida reported 10,181 new confirmed cases yesterday. Texas reported 10,791 new cases yesterday. Washington State reports 547 new cases yesterday. New York reports 831 new cases yesterday. It is quite clear which states have the tighter restrictions. And of course, there are population differences. However, taking little or no action only increases the risk of new cases and potential deaths. If you missed my comments last week, I'll repeat for everyone. The Kodiak Island Borough School District has a Smart Start tentative plan for reopening classrooms. The plan has three risk levels, all of which correspond to elementary, secondary classroom instruction. Low risk involves no or low levels of community transmission and has students attending for a full day. Medium risk is moderate community transmission and has half of the students attending at one time, essentially two work or two group schedules. High risk has no students attending in person. Emergency Operations Center has developed a community mitigation plan. The mitigation plan lists levels of community spread that will force us all to proceed to a progressive measure of restrictions within the community. These levels include low risk, which is the current level within our community. As we see low levels of community spread, the majority of our cases are travel related. Medium risk will be low to medium levels of community spread, and there we will limit gatherings larger than 20 people without the ability to social distance. Face coverings and masks will be highly recommended. High is medium to high levels of community spread with hospitals reaching care capacity. We'll receive guidance from our local and state health about our capacity to care for the COVID-19 patients. There, essential services and critical infrastructure only will be in operation, and there will be limited patron capacity, and face coverings will be required. Then lastly, extreme is the uncontrolled community spread with a surge in hospitalizations and deaths. We'll only have limited essential services and critical infrastructure operational under that risk level. This extreme risk level is the absolute worst scenario, and for obvious reasons, one we all want to. Both mitigation plans are available on each respective web pages, the Kodiak Island Borough School District, the city and the borough web pages. So please understand that we are all in this together. We're at a point with this virus where we can make a difference. Yes, we've had 16 cases here on the island. It has, however, been a manageable healthcare load. We have conducted over 3,882 tests and continue to test. East Elementary School is one available test location. Testing, wearing face masks, social distancing, and proper hygiene are all effective preventative measures in reducing the spread of this nasty virus. But we must continue these precautions. I can't emphasize this enough. If we hope for school to open again in the fall, businesses to remain open, your place of employment to stay open, the freedom to conduct our daily lives as normal as possible, we must be socially responsible. There are many residents in our community that would benefit if we were all wearing masks. One thing COVID-19 has made abundantly clear is how small our planet is, how interlinked we are, how much we need to work together to protect ourselves. My message is to you is let's take this virus seriously and do our part to protect ourselves and others. I would like to leave you with a quote by Dr. Ann Zink, Alaska's chief medical officer, when asked why she wears a mask. She wears a mask in public for three reasons. Humility, because I don't know if I have COVID, as it is clear that people can spread the disease before they have symptoms. Kindness, because I don't know if the person I'm near has a kid battling cancer or cares for an elder. And for community, I want my community to thrive, businesses to stay open, and employees to stay healthy. Thank you for tuning in today, and we'll see you next week during the Thursday noon live community update. Have a safe week. Remember, stand back, mask up, and wash your hands. Thank you.
All right, that was Mike Tvangi, the Emergency Services Organization Director, and we will have a recording of that with the new newscast up in as soon as we're done here. All right, we got some more stories for you. The Walmart shoppers, as you're probably all familiar with, will soon be required to wear masks as part of a nationwide effort to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Kodiak's Walmart manager, Jason Jardine, says the mask requirement takes effect on Monday. Jardine says he doesn't expect it will cause too many problems, but will require extra staffing.
We'll have a person that stands at the front to monitor that from the time we open until the time we close every day. A large majority of the people are already wearing masks when they come in the store, so I don't think it's going to impact a lot.
He says that customers will have to bring their own masks. The store will not provide them. Walmart's national office released a statement that said about 65% of its stores, including Sam's Clubs, are already in communities with mask mandates. The company says its decisions to require customers at all of its stores nationwide is to make its policies consistent. There are 8 Walmart stores in Alaska. Shoppers in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Wasilla, Kenai, Ketchikan, and Kodiak would be affected. Other businesses in Kodiak have begun to mandate masks. On Monday, Wells Fargo Bank changed its policy to require both its employees and customers to cover their faces. The Kodiak branch of Wells Fargo says most of its customers already wear masks, so compliance hasn't been a problem. David Kennedy, a spokesman for Wells Fargo, says the bank's policies are in line with public health recommendations. The race for Kodiak's one House seat in the Alaska legislature just got a little bit easier for incumbent Louise Stutes this year, a race that may reveal a strategy by Alaska Democrats to preserve a bipartisan House majority. I sat down and talked with Louise and the Democratic challenger, Pete Hefner. Representative Stutes is running unopposed in the Republican primary for the seat, but does have a Democratic challenger, Pete Hefner from Cordova. That is, until Hefner unexpectedly ended his campaign last week.
For years now, I've been interested in running for the seat.
Hefner's candidacy wasn't about a referendum on Representative Stutes' policies. In fact, Hefner supports Stutes as District 32's representative.
I do agree with a lot of what Louise stands for as well. So, that was a problem in and of itself, as I do enjoy Louise and her stances on most every topic that comes up.
Hefner, a fisherman and school board member, said that he ran because he was concerned that the Republican Party was going to run a much more conservative candidate against Stutes in the primary. In 2018, Stutes, a centrist Republican who caucuses with the House majority, defeated Kodiak's Rich Walker, a Republican Party-backed challenger, in a tough primary race. Stutes ultimately prevailed in a close general election.
Wanted a viable candidate to be there in that position, and just in case that did occur.
This will be Stutes' first uncontested House election, and she feels...
fabulous. It makes me feel like? It makes me feel like the people that I represent have some confidence in me.
Hefner's departure from the House race may seem odd since the Alaska Democratic Party right now has some momentum. On the statewide election scene, Elise Galvin, who is running against Republican Representative Don Young and is supported by the Democrats, is out fundraising and polling ahead of Young. And Al Gross is also polling closely with Dan Sullivan for a U.S. Senate seat. Of the seven Republican and independent House majority incumbents, including Stutes, three don't have a Democratic challenger. The four Republicans who would have a Democratic opponent in the general election are facing primaries against candidates who are more conservative. So keeping a Democratic candidate in those races acts as insurance for keeping the bipartisan majority. Hefner said that once he saw that Stutes would not be primaried by a more conservative candidate supported by the Republican Party after all, he considered bowing out. And the Alaska Democratic Party might have helped convince Hefner to withdraw too.
Yeah, and the Democratic Party, did they play a role in it? A little bit, I suppose.
So does Representative Stutes consider Hefner's exit from the race as an endorsement from the Alaska Democratic Party?
I do not. I am a Republican, and I've been a Republican since I was registered to vote. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to work across the aisle, because that's the only way you're going to get anything accomplished.
Even though this year's campaign didn't work out for him, Hefner has not ruled out future runs for legislative office.
One of my big things, and Louise is doing that too, is, you know, getting a stable fiscal budget, you know, has been, ongoing for 6 or 7 years now, and getting some new revenue. You know, the state needs to move forward, as well as funding of education and services for Alaskans. I guess those are kind of big things to me.
Requests for a statement from the Alaska Democratic Party have not yet been returned. The 2020 general election day is Tuesday, November 3rd, and the deadline to register to vote in that election is Sunday, October 4th. As national opinion turns against President Donald Trump and threatens to trickle down to Republican congressional candidates, two Alaskan independents have continued to outraise the GOP incumbents they're challenging. Elise Galvin is an independent who got 47% of the vote when she ran against Republican Congressman Don Young 2 years ago. She raised nearly $700,000 between April and June, leaving her with nearly $1.5 million in her accounts. Young raised a little more than $250,000 and has a little less than $1 million in the bank. He was also substantially outraised by Galvin in the first 3 months of the year. In Alaska's U.S. Senate race, incumbent Republican Dan Sullivan raised $1.2 million compared to the $1.6 raised by independent challenger Al Gross. Gross figures include a $100 donation from himself on the last day of the three-month fundraising period. And since his campaign began, he spent a total of nearly $750,000 of his own money. While Galvin and Gross are independents, they're both seeking the nomination of the Alaska Democratic Party in its primary election next month. There's new leadership for the Coast Guard's Anchorage sector, its largest geographic area, which encompasses western Alaska, the North Slope, the Aleutian Islands, and Prince William Sound. Captain Leanne Lusk took the helm at a change of command ceremony at Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson on Wednesday. The outgoing commander is Captain Sean McKenzie, who is being reassigned to the Coast Guard's Africa Command in Germany. Lusk brings her experience from directing Coast Guard operations in a four-state area on and around Lake Michigan and the Illinois Waterway. Captain Gregory Fuller, Chief of Staff for the Coast Guard 17th District, presided over the event, which was modified to prevent the spread of COVID-19. A death from paralytic shellfish poisoning in Unalaska. State health officials say the person had underlying health conditions that contributed to the death, but the state medical examiner's office confirmed the primary cause was exposure to the toxins from seafood. Although serious illnesses are reported more frequently, this is the first known PSP fatality in Alaska since 2010. The person who died ate blue mussels and snails collected from an Unalaska beach on the 4th of July. The shellfish were cooked before consumption and symptoms developed about 4 hours afterward. The patient's initial symptoms included tingling fingers, numbness, a floating sensation, and vomiting. Several hours later, the patient reported numbness in their mouth, weakness in their hands, and pain in their neck and back. The patient was transferred to Unalaska's clinic, then flown to an Anchorage hospital where they died. Blue mussel samples collected from the beach the same day were found to have extremely high toxin levels, more than 100 times higher than the safe limit. The snail samples also had elevated toxin levels, but not as high as the mussels. High levels of toxins that can cause PSP have been found recently in shellfish from numerous Alaska communities. Recent PSP reports have found dangerous levels in butter clams and or blue mussels from beaches in Craig, Chignik, Heidelberg, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Kasan, Juneau, and Unalaska, there it is, among others. State warnings apply to non-commercially harvested shellfish since commercial operations are required to regularly test for toxins. All right, coming up, we got Fish Radio.
Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Dumping your doings overboard could net you a big fine. More after this.
Did you know that eating wild and sustainable Alaska seafood can boost your immune system? Learn more about Alaska seafood's many proven nutritional benefits at wildalaskaseafood.com.
Don't be dumping your doings overboard is a message from the state of Alaska to fishing vessel operators. A letter sent out last week by the Department of Environmental Conservation reminds fishermen that it's illegal to dump sewage within 3 miles from shore. DEC Commissioner Jason Brune had this to say to KDLG in Dillingham.
It is common practice, obviously, for folks to use a honey bucket on their boat and to just throw it overboard. So there is no doubt that it is an ongoing practice. So we're working to educate folks operating in our waters about the Clean Water Act. But I would encourage folks to, you know, think about the water in general and think about being good stewards and to bring that for proper disposal on shore.
Dumping sewage overboard violates the Clean Water Act and can net you a fine of up to $2,000. Brune's letter also says the dumpings damage the nearshore environment by contaminating shellfish beds and fish habitat and can spread diseases to other people. All boats with onboard bathrooms must use Coast Guard-approved sanitation devices with storage tanks that are emptied at a pump station or beyond 3 miles. Boats with honey buckets also can use the pump stations or bag-style camp toilets that can be sealed and disposed of at approved collection areas. Along with the dangers of contamination, Brune points out that dumping stinky sewage simply sends the wrong message.
We have environmental standards that we want to hold folks to make sure that we're being protective of our marine resources, of our fish, and of the environment that we love here in Alaska.
The DEC letter provides helpful guidelines and contacts. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Thanks to the assist from KDLG. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
And welcome to the Island Messenger. I don't see any personal messages today, so let's jump right into the weather. Right now in Kodiak, it's 58 degrees. We've got a 50% chance of rain. It's like the rain kind of comes and stops and comes and stops. Winds from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, expect a low of 53 with a 40% chance of rain. Winds from the south-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow in Kodiak, more showers. Showers in the morning, then cloudy in the afternoon. Maybe a high of 59. Winds from the east at 10 to 15 miles per hour. If you're heading up to the mainland in Homer right now, it's 66 degrees right now, 10% chance of rain, but mostly sunny skies. It's a pretty pleasant day in Homer. Tonight, the rain's going to move in, or the showers, developing after midnight with a low of 53. Winds from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow in Homer, 40% chance of rain, showers in the morning, cloudy in the afternoon, high of 61. And if you're heading up to big city of Anchorage right now, let's see, 66 degrees, 20% chance of rain, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Winds from the west-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight in Anchorage, low of 54 with a 20% chance of rain. And tomorrow, high of 67 with a 10% chance of precipitation. Well, today is Thursday, the 16th of July. The sun rose at 5:34 a.m. and it will set tonight at 10:57 p.m., giving us about 17 hours and 20 minutes of daylight. We will have lost 3 minutes and 14 seconds of daylight. But the good news is that the sun is going to rise tomorrow at 5:36 a.m. Our record high was 71 in both 1929 and in 1989. And the record low was 35 in 1927. Let's check in on the marine forecast for the North Gulf Coast, including the Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A front is going to enter the western Gulf and reach the central Gulf Thursday night. A 1,006 millibar low will form 150 nautical miles south of Sitkanak Friday afternoon and move 160 nautical miles south of Middleton Island at 1,009 millibars Friday night. For the west of the Barren Islands, today, southwest wind of 20 knots, becoming southeast of 15 knots in the afternoon, seas at 3 feet. For the Barren Islands East, we've got a small craft advisory today and tomorrow. Right now, a southwest wind of 30 knots this morning, becoming southeast of 20 knots with seas at 6 feet. Tonight, a southeast wind of 20 knots with seas at 6 feet. And tomorrow, southeast wind of 25 knots with seas at 6 feet. From Marmot Island to Sitkanak, today, south wind of 15 knots with seas at 6 feet. For Chiniac Bay today, south wind of 10 knots, increasing to 15 knots in the afternoon with seas at 3 feet. For Marmot Bay today, south wind of 10 knots, becoming southeast of 15 knots in the afternoon, seas at 4 feet. And for the Shelikof Strait today, southwest wind of 20 knots with seas at 5 feet, subsiding to 3 feet in the afternoon. Let's take a look at the tide table. We've got a high tide coming up like right now, literally right now, 12:24 p.m. of 5.33 feet, and a low tide this evening at 5:10 p.m. of 3.16 feet. Over on the west side in Neuganic Bay, high tide in a few minutes at 12:42 p.m. of 10.60 feet, and the low tide this evening at 6:15 p.m. of 5.11 feet. Here is a message from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 8, date issued at 8:30 p.m. July 13th. The seaward zones of the Alinchak Bay, Katmai, Dakivak Bay, Outer Tukak Bay, Hollow Bay, and Big River sections of the mainland district, and the seaward zones of the northwest Afognak and Shuiak Island sections of the Afognak district will close to commercial salmon fishing at 11:30 p.m. Monday, July 13th. As previously announced, the following areas are currently scheduled to close at 9 p.m. Thursday, July 16th. The Outer Iqaluit and Outer Karluk sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Northwest Kodiak District, except for the Kujuyak Bay, Terror Bay, and Inner Uganic Bay, and Zachar Bay sections, the Afognak District, except for the Iqaluit Bay and Inner and Outer Katoy Bay sections will remain closed, the Northeast Kodiak District, the East Side Kodiak District, except for the Inner Ugak Bay section will remain closed, and the Cape Alatak, Humpy Deadman, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. The mainland district will close at 9 p.m. Wednesday, July 15th. The following areas remain open until further notice. The Spiridon Bay Special Harvest Area, also known as Telrod Cove. Until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak District, south of a latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse anglers in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Concerning the North Shelikof Strait fishery, short notice in period closures may occur for seine fisheries in the seaward zones of the North Shelikof Strait area as designated in the North Shelikof Strait Sockeye Salmon Management Plan. Closure announcements may occur at 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, 2 p.m., 5 p.m., or 8:30 p.m. on VHF Channel 6. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. And statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fishing Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. And this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Market season is upon us. The Kodiak Beartown Market and Kodiak Arts Council are collaborating to bring you Beartown Market in a Box. The July Beartown Market in a Box includes items from Oceanborn Designs, the Seroptimus International of Kodiak, Emerald Isle Essentials, Natasha Zahn Priestess, and Kodiak Harvest Food Co-op. Only 35 boxes are available, and you can purchase them now and pick them up this next Saturday, July 25th, from 12 to 2 at the auditorium. Find the Beartown Market in a Box for sale on the Kodiak Arts Council website at kodiakarts.org. And there's a burro assembly meeting tonight with some public hearings on the Education Support Fund and edible marijuana products and on voting by mail elections. And you can listen to that right here on KMXT. Stay tuned for Baby Bunker.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.